Today's Mishnah Masechet Idiot is Perek Vav, Mishnah Beit. Is it Mishnah Beit or Mishnah Aleph? It's Mishnah Aleph? Oh, okay, we didn't start. See, I need Shmuel Chanina to keep me on track. Let's start that again. Today's Mishnah Masechet Idiot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kadesh, is Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. And we start today our new Perek, Rev Yehuda Ben Bava Heit Chamisha Devarim. So we're back to the normal Seder of the Masechet, in which we list various elements of Edus and very variegated elements. So first, we're going to talk about Kitanot. Now remember that the din of a Kitana who does not have a father is that the Rabbanan were metaken a marriage for her, but it's an unusual kind of marriage. It's a marriage that basically provides her with a protective male who is going to be essentially her husband, but you can't really have a husband for a ketana if nobody can be mekabel the kedushin. So in order to make this religiously acceptable wedding, in which people are living together as man and wife without really having a wedding, the Rabbanan were mitaken a din of kedushin for a ketana, and that kedushin of a ketana allows them to give her sexual satisfaction and at the same time protection from predators. But the problem is, what's going to prevent the person who wants to do that marriage from himself being a predator? So because of that, the Rabbanan allowed this marriage to be completely canceled the moment that the child says, I don't like this guy. So if she doesn't like this guy, she's out of there, and Beis Din protects her from any claims that he has on her as a wife. That's called miyun. Now, normally, we don't want to encourage miyun, because we want these people to actually grow up together and end up just living a life as she becomes a fully grown woman. But there are times when we will encourage a child to say that they don't like their husbands. Why? Because miyun, as opposed to the normal way of dissolving a marriage, which is either by shooting the husband or by giving a get, miyun works retroactively. And therefore, if a child does miyun, she was never, ever married. What's the difference? Why would that be useful? It would be very useful to us in cases where it is the only way that we can be mekayim the din of yibum. Because what happens if you've got a case? The classic case was where you've got two brothers who marry two sisters. But the variation in this case is that one of those sisters was a ketana. And therefore, her marriage is actually revocable all the way back to the beginning. Why is that valuable? Because, look, in such a case, if we've got one that falls to the other one, so the one who is married to the Gedela, if he dies, the one who's married to the Ketana is unable to be Mekayim Yibam Midrabanan. Why? Because since the sister is married to him Midrabanan, then that the Rabbanan Zika makes it impossible for him to be Mekayim Yibam. So in that case, if the child is Mima Enet, then it turns out she was never married to him. And if she was never married, there's no Isser of Achot Zekukato. So you'll say, well, that's nasty. I mean, to have her give me in and now she's going to be left alone without this guy that maybe she loves and cares about and so on. It's not nasty. You know why? Because anyway, she's not going to be able to continue to be married to this guy. Because since Midiraisa, this guy is now the remaining brother, and there's a Diraisa of Zika, of the Gedela now, to him as his Yavana, she becomes Achot Zekukato, and therefore she can't remain married to him. because she's only married with this fixed, this completely fictitious marriage of the Darabanan of a Katana. So anyway, she's going to have to break this marriage. So the easiest way to break it is through Miyun, and that way she can actually allow the Yibum of her sister. So that is the first Edus that he said. Second Edus, and that is the famous case of a woman whose husband disappeared, went overseas, and we have indications that he died, but we only have an Eid Echad. And in that case, or we may have even the Edus of the Isha herself, Masi'ina Taisha Alpid Eid Echad. Normally, of course, it's Apishnaim Edim Yakum Davar, and this is called the Davar. Dvar Erva is a Davar. Afalpikain, when it came over here, remember, Mitoch Chumra, Sheikhmarta Aleha Besofa, since if she doesn't absolutely make it 100% sure that he died before she married, boy, is she in major trouble. Because she ends up losing both husbands, her new husband, so-called husband, turns out it wasn't much of a husband, she was still married to the original, but her new lover, and her original lover, who was her husband, and she loses both ksuvas. It's awful. So because of that, the Rabbanan accepted that as an indication that it's for real, and therefore we allow her to get married in order to avoid situations of agunais, which is a terrible situation in which a woman can never remarry because she's not sure, but she can't bring proof, I should say. She is sure, but she cannot bring proof that her husband is dead. So in order to avoid that, they were mater. So is the second Edus. The third Edus. The Torah talks about the chiyuv of a shor that was nagach es ha'adam, and the din that you're circling as ha'shor. But it only mentions the shor. So would that be true, let's say, of any kind of animal at all? So he was made that even though it says hashor yisakel, in fact, that shor includes any type of animal, bird, and once it was niskal tarnagol b'Yerushalayim al shaharagas hanefesh, once a story of a rooster that had pecked at an infant and actually punctured through the fontanelle, punctured the brain of the infant and killed the infant. And they stoned the tarnagol. So we see that the din of the Ashor Yisakel is a halacha of any animal, halacha lamaisa. The fourth thing that he was made is that it happened that Yain ben Arba'im Yom was nitnaseich agabe amizbeach. So even though it says in the pasuk nesach sheichar, and the meaning of nesach sheichar is that it is capable of shichrut, it's intoxicated. Nonetheless, they once didn't have any wine for the nesachim. They used wine that had fermented for only 40 days, and that considered that to be the minimum requirement for nesach sheichar, and they used it together with the carbon. And the fifth edus, al tamid shel shacha shekara be'arba sha'ot, that it actually happened that there was a delay in, this was at the time of the Yevonim, and remember that was the terrible time that they had to bring up the tamid every day, they had to bring it up with a pulley system, and that was at the end, that horrible story with the pig and so on. So it once happened that the Yevonim were not, weren't particularly happy about providing this, and the tamid came late. And normally, you bring the tamid, you bring it immediately in the morning. But once they didn't get the tamid on time, and it was all beautiful mice that they found, actually. They found animals in the Beis HaMikdash itself, as in they realized it was a nace, and it was in the last minute that they could bring the korban tamid, and it was actually brought at the end of the fourth hour of the day. So you see that you can bring all the way at the arba sha'ot bayon. Sha'ot bayon, of course, meaning sha'ot zmanios, of course. Perek Vav Mishnah Beit. Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Nechunya ben Elinatan, Ish Kvar HaBavli, they were made, now this sounds strange, they were made on an Aver min HaMeit Shehutame. It seems pretty clear. We know that even a Kezayit min HaMeit is Metame Ba'oel. We know that even an Etzem Kisaora is Metame B'maga or B'masa. So what in the world were they being made on about an Aver min HaMeit Shehutame? That is so weird. But the fact is, it's a big chiddush. Because an Aver min HaMeit that they're referring to is an Aver that does not have a Kezayit min HaMeit, let's say a finger. There's not a Kezayit of Basar on a finger. And nonetheless, they said it's Metame Ba'ohel. Now, a Etzem Kisaora is not Metame Ba'ohel. So then that means they were saying if it's an entire Aver, then, which would really mean one part of a finger would be, that one joint would be considered an entire Aver in terms of Ramah Hevorim, and they said that would be Metame Ba'ohel. And the reason that this was a big chiddush was because Sherebe Eliezer Omer, the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, which was against their actual edus, that they were makabel, that this is the halacha, was that this is only true, that an aver is metame b'meit, it's only metame as an aver min hachai. It is not metame as an aver min hameit, and it's actually based on the pasuk of b'chalal cherev o b'meit, in which we understand chalal cherev means that which was cut off from a living being by a knife, obemet. So that meant that an aver min hachai would have the same din in the oyel, which is what the pasuk is referring to, it would be metame. But it doesn't say that about an oyel, an aver min hameit, that it's metame be oyel. There the shear is a kezayit min hameit. Amru Los, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yechunya, they said to Rabbi Eliezer, well, I mean, if that's the case, it's a pretty big Kal Vachomer, don't you think? I mean, the Chai is completely Tohar, and nonetheless, an Aver from the Chai is Metame in an Oel. So Mach min HaChai, which is completely Tohar, you're telling me that it's going to be Metame Ba'oel, so it's Borish Vimenu is Tame Ba'oel. If the mate, which is kulay tame, eno dinjie aver haporish mimenu tame. I mean, what kind of shita is this? Amar lam, look, gentlemen. First of all, this is not my shita. This is what I was mekabel as a mesera. Lo amru, when they spoke about an aver, it was specifically in the context of aver menachat. And as far as your brilliant Kal Vachomer is concerned, I will now address your Kal Vachomer, because it's not such a grand Kal Vachomer like you're making out. Amar Lehem, Dover Acher, I got something else to tell you. You're saying, well, for sure, a mace is more Chomer than a Chai. Is that true? I don't think that's true. Actually, Meruba Tum'ata Chayim Mitum'ata Meitim. There are certain things where a Chai can be Metame, that no mate can be metame. Because remember, a chai who is in a position of zivus, let's say, where he would be oisim mishkav u'meishav, so if he lies down on a couch, sits down on a chair, and we've got our classic princess and the pea, forget about that princess and the pea, we're talking about the mattress that's underneath another 100 mattresses, that this guy sits down on, that bottom mattress, 100 mattresses down, is so tame that it will be metame adam, and that adam that touches us will be metame the begadim that he is actually wearing at that moment. That's like, whoa. So that goes beyond any kind of maga, any kind of masa. I mean, this is like the ultimate tuma. You'd show me a mate that can do that. No such thing. And that's the mitachtov, even migabav. So migabav would mean that, let's say, for instance, you've got a scale. On one side of the scale, you've got a mattress. And on the other side of the scale, you've got a zov. Obviously, it doesn't have to be a scale. You'd be talking about any case where by stepping into a boat, you lifted up a mattress on the other side. That would be considered a madaf of Ezav. And the din is that madaf, remember the Gemara Darshan from Kol Ala Nidaf, that a lashon of madaf is a lashon of a lighter thing. So it would be a kula. Even a madaf would be tamei, albeit it would not be tamei enough to be metame adam, but it would be metame to make that pea a tamei because it's metame erchlin umashkin. So al gabav, it's a tumas madaf. It's called metame erchlin umashkin. Now you show me, says Reb Eliezer, you show me a mate that can do that. Mashaina mate metame, there's no mate that can be metame mishkav umashav or metame the Tumas Madaf. And therefore, your Kal V'chomer is really not an impressive Kal V'chomer.